Good morning, friends. Welcome to the worship of God at Wallingford Presbyterian Church. We're glad that you're here. I know we have some guests today, and we're particularly glad that you're here, especially since you're here for the baptism of Lucas. And it's always a, come on in, it's always a wonderful time when we celebrate by gathering at the font and welcoming a new member into fellowship of the body of Christ. Today, we're also receiving a couple of new members as well, and that always makes things special. You might have noticed that Liz is not at the keyboard today. John Conahan, who helped lead music in the summer, is back with us, and we welcome John. Liz is celebrating her mother's, I don't know, should I say how old her mother is?
Yes.
Is that an okay thing to do?
Yes.
Celebrating her 70th birthday, and the family is gathered up, and she is not here with us. By now, I think most of you should have received a letter from Liz announcing that after 20 years of service as our director of music, she is going to step down. She, as is stated in the letter, she's not going to another church, but she is opening herself up to other and new possibilities. So that's a bittersweet announcement. I think you all, those of you who know me, know that I love Liz dearly. And so particularly, personally, that's a difficult thing. I had thought that we would, you know, both walk out together, and I'm not ready to go. So anyway, we'll face that. This congregation, I know in the past few years, has been able to rise above and find where God is leading us. And I know that God will direct us in this search as well. The bulletin doesn't look like it usually does. Kate is out sick with the flu. She tried. She said, you know, just wait, I'll get there. I'm going to get there. I'll come in on Saturday. And I said, Kate, stay in bed, and I'll come up with something. This is the something that I came up with. Just a reminder that according to our polity, I need to announce that we are meeting as a congregation next week. The meeting of the annual meeting of the congregation and the corporation will take place following the worship service, and then we'll have a luncheon together. So that it's always a special time when we see where we've been and where we are and where God is leading us. Towards the center aisle of each pew is a black friendship pad, which you are welcome, who might be worshiping with you in your pew. And I invite you to do that as well. Lord be with you. Let's pray. Holy God, through signs of grace, you reveal your glory to all the world. Open our eyes to the hidden and surprising wonders you perform, that we may believe with our minds and trust in our hearts that you alone are Lord of all creation. Be with us as a congregation as we celebrate the sacrament of baptism and welcome Lucas into the fellowship of your church, into the body of Christ. Be with us as we pray together, as we sing together, as we listen to your word from scripture and preached. Inspire us by your Holy Spirit to become ever more fully your people of grace and love in this place. It is through Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit that we pray. Amen and amen.
If you're able, please stand. Join with me as we call each other to worship this morning. People of God, why do you gather here today?
We come to celebrate the steadfast love that God offers us all.
Ah, yes, God's grace and love is a precious gift indeed.
How good it is that all people refuge in the shadow of God's grace.
And we come, invited by Christ, the fountain of life.
Yes, Christ, we behold
Come then, and let us worship God together.
And now we have the time for young disciples, so I invite any children to come forward now. this side. Okay, okay. Lila, can I have you come over this side so I can see everybody? Nice. Oop. Hold on one moment. I just dropped my microphone. Okay, I have a special surprise for you guys today. Today, our scripture story is something very special. It's a story about Jesus doing a miracle. What is a miracle? Can anybody tell me? What's a miracle? Yeah. Yeah, something that's not possible, that just happens. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Yeah. That's okay. Yeah, you don't know. Well, we're going to basically go over our little story. But before we do, can anybody read this word for me? It's kind of a strange word. It's the name of a town. Yeah. Cana. Cana? Okay, yeah. So it's Cana. But so today, this is where this miracle happened, okay? So I'm going to show you something very special. All right, so Jesus was at this wedding. It's this beautiful wedding, right? During the daytime, there's all kinds of food, right? What do you eat at a wedding? Cake, yeah. Didn't quite have cake, but, you know, fun food, right? They do dancing, celebration, anything else? Yeah.
They dance.
They dance, mm-hmm. Exactly. I'm going to be performing a wedding later today, so I'm thinking about all these things in the back of my mind. But they also have, you know, they usually would have wine, right? Even though you guys are too little to drink wine, they would have that. So, I have something to show you today. What's this?
Water.
Water? Yeah. It's just normal. Filled it up from the sink. Looks pretty normal, right? So, Jesus did this crazy thing where they ran out of wine. And everyone said, where's the wine? Yeah, exactly, Tim. He turned the water into wine. So, today, we got some normal water right here, right? What just happened? What just happened? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It turned from clear to red. Yeah. Looks like Roman wine. There you go. Because you said you put the water in the wine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, it looks like blood. That is more theologically significant than you could understand. I'm sure you could understand it, but we don't have the time. Well, you guys did so great today. So this was just a little magic trick, right? Something that I'm able to do because it was just some food coloring, like Tim had said. But Jesus did it for real. That's pretty crazy, right? He didn't use food coloring. He actually turned it from water into wine. And he did all kinds of miracles. He healed people, and he even brought someone back from the dead. Ooh, that's a little spooky, right? Maybe we should save that. You said, is it a zombie? Not quite. Maybe, you know, we should save that one for Halloween. That'd be a really good Halloween miracle. But for now, yeah. Right, that's a good question. He said, how do you make the molecules of the water turn into the molecules of the wine? Wow, this is a great science question, right? But this is exactly why it's a miracle, right? It's a totally different substance. But Jesus was able to do it. It's something that is impossible that happens, just like how Thomas said. So what I want us to think about is, yeah. Okay, yeah, he said, I'm not sure he could do it by himself because he's like a baby, right? Yeah. That is a good point. We just celebrated his birth, right? But later on in life, he grew up and he was able to do these miracles, right? That's a really good point. I'm glad you remembered that. We just celebrated his birth. So what I want us to remember is that even though we don't really see these grand miracles today, right? Not all the time. You know, we don't really see Jesus turning our water into wine or maybe our breakfast cereal into cookies or something. But instead, we can think about the ways in which God works in our lives that are little miracles, right? The wonderful ways that God is just constantly with us and showing us the way. So let's try to be aware of that this week, okay? As we go forward. And let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you so much for the little miracles that you sprinkle our lives with every day. We thank you for the wonders and miracles that Jesus performed and how they point on toward your kingdom. Help us, too, to point toward your kingdom on this earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, don't move. We're going to watch something very special, okay? I want us, yes, a baptism. I want you to sit here right along what we call this the courtesy panel, okay? And you're going to watch. And then after the baptism, we'll dismiss you to, sound good? Thank you. Good job. And now, I would like to invite up our this is the Kramer family this morning. We have Laura, Nick, and Lucas. Lucas will be getting baptized this morning. And I'd like to also welcome up Judy, who will be our representative from session. Good morning. Brothers and sisters in Christ, sacrament of baptism, we share in the death and resurrection of Christ, and we are incorporated into Christ's holy church. Baptism proclaims the faith of the church, and by the sign of water, God cleanses us from sin, renews life, and prefigures the reconciliation of all things promised in Christ. In baptism, we are given the Holy Spirit as a pledge of this reconciliation. The same Spirit binds us together, each other, and joins us to Christ's ministry of love, peace, and justice.
On behalf of the session, I present Lucas Christian Kramer to receive the sacrament of baptism.
Laura and Nick, putting your whole trust in the grace and love of Jesus Christ, do you desire to have your child baptized? Do you? Relying on God's grace, do you promise to live the Christian faith, teach that faith to your child, do you?
Do we, the people of Christ Church, promise with God's help to tell this child the good news of the gospel, to help him know all that Christ commands, and by our fellowship, to strengthen his ties with the household of God? Will we be patient with Looney Wiggles in the pew? Will we tell him Bible stories? Will we treat him as our own? If so, respond, we do and we will.
We do and we will.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We thank Almighty God for the gift of water. Over water, the Holy Spirit moved in the beginning of creation. With water you destroyed evil in the days of Noah. Through water you led the children of Israel out of their bondage in Egypt into the land of promise. In water your son Jesus received the baptism of John and was anointed by the Holy Spirit as the Christ, that he might lead us through his death and resurrection from the bondage of sin into everlasting life. We thank you, loving God, for the water of baptism. In it we are buried with Christ in his death. By it we share in resurrection. We are reborn by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in joyful obedience to your Son, we receive into your community of faith those whom you called and justified. Pour out your Holy Spirit, that as Lucas is made a new creation through these baptismal waters, he may preach good news to the poor, proclaim release to the captives, and set at liberty those who are oppressed. To Christ, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be honor and glory now and forever. Amen.
Amen. I ask you, therefore, to reject sin, to profess your faith in Jesus Christ, and to confess the faith of the church. Laura and Nick, speaking for your son, I ask you, do you renounce evil and its power in the world, which defy God's righteousness and love? Do you? Do you renounce the ways of sin that separate love of God? Do you? Do you trust in Jesus? Do you? Do you intend your son Lucas to be Christ's disciple and to obey his word and show his love?
Friends, if you'll stand and turn in your hymnals to page 35, together we'll state what we believe as it's found in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to hell.
Shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated.
Actually, right there will be fine. No, that's fine right there. What is the name of your child?
Lucas Christian Kramer.
Lucas Christian Kramer. Lucas, you want to touch the water? You can touch it. Yeah, see? Yeah. Okay. Okay. Lucas, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. All-powerful God, we give you thanks for freeing your sons and daughters from the power of sin and for raising them up to a new life of grace. Sustain Lucas with your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit and the fear of the Lord, and the spirit of joy in your presence. Amen. Lucas, child of God, I sign you with the cross, and you are marked as Christ forever.
Lucas has been received into the body of Christ, the Holy Catholic Church, the Apostolic Church, through baptism. God has made him a member of the household of God to share with us in the priesthood of Christ. So let us welcome him.
This is our newest member of our church family, Lucas. And this is your church family. Say hello. Can you come back this way? Nice. You did very well. Great.
Here are a few gifts for the congregation. A shell, which is the ancient symbol of baptism and of pilgrims on the journey of faith. And a cradle cross, reminding you of Jesus' words in Matthew 19:14. Let the little children come to me.
Let us welcome Lucas one more time. Thank you, and you may be seated. Thank you. Thank you, Lucas.
So now, in addition to Lucas's baptism, we're also welcoming a couple of new members to this particular congregation. So I'll ask, Nick is already here. I'll ask Justine to join us here by the font. And I'll ask any of the session members to come and join me here on this side. Thank you.
On behalf of the session, I present Justine Cox and Nicholas Kramer, who have been received into the membership of this congregation by reaffirmation of faith.
As we've just been reminded, in baptism, we were claimed by God, marked as Christ's own, and joined to his body by the Holy Spirit. So you come to us then not as strangers, but as friends in Christ and members of the household of God. Rejoice that you now desire to join with this congregation in the worship, mission, and ministry of the church.
Hear these words from Scripture. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the hope of your one calling, from one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all.
Since we just read the Apostles' Creed, we're going to assume that you all remember that. Justine and Nick, we have professed our faith as one body. I ask you, will you be a faithful member of this congregation, share in its worship and ministry and mission through your prayers, your gifts, your talents, and your abilities, your study and your service, and so fulfill your calling to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? If so, respond, I will, God's help.
Let us pray. Holy God, thank you for calling us to be your people and joining us to Christ's body, the church. We praise you for leading these friends in Christ to this congregation. Empower us by your Spirit that we might love one another as Christ loved us, honoring him in all we say and giving our lives in service to others through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen. Welcome to the mission and ministry of this church. I hope that you all will take an opportunity to welcome Justine and Nick and Lucas to this congregation and to our life and a journey of faith together. Session members, I'll give you a chance to welcome our folks as John plays our musical interlude. Welcome. Welcome. Blessings.
Friends, in the light and love of Christ, we see the darkness of our world and of our hearts. Trusting in God's saving love, let us confess our sin. Almighty God, we confess that we have been led astray by the idols of our world. We have depended on our own possessions and have not placed our trust in your grace. We have carelessly consumed the gifts you offer.
and who failed to be faithful stewards of the earth's resources. We have sought security in the might of the sword rather than the strength of your Holy Spirit. Forgive us, we pray. Lead us to true repentance, that we may serve you faithfully. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Sisters and brothers, hear the good news. Christ unmasks the idols of our world and frees us from slavery to all that would oppress us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Be to God.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
People of God, body of Christ, sisters and brothers, what shall we do in response to God's forgiveness? As God's own people, we will be merciful in action, kindly in heart, humble in mind, always ready to forgive as freely as God has forgiven us. And above everything else, we will be loving and never forget to be thankful for what Christ has done for us. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Gracious God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, quicken our understanding that we may receive the testimony of Scripture and believe in the signs that reveal your presence. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we have a reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. Please listen for the word of God. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. There are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given knowledge through the Spirit, the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by the one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Protect it, I turn now to our gospel reading from the Gospel according to John. Again, I invite you to listen for the word of God. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now, standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill with water," and they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. So I wanted to preach on both the Gospel of John and the passage from 1 Corinthians, especially as we approach our annual meeting together. So today I want to concentrate a little bit on John and next week on 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So, what do you think? I mean about the miracle described by John in this morning's Gospel. In terms of Jesus' miracles, as I think Pastor Taylor hinted at with the kids, what would you rate it? Let's say on a scale from 1 to 10. What kind of score does turning water into wine get? By the way, when I went to seminary and I took my course on miracles, we actually did turn the water into wine. It wasn't just food coloring. And if you believe that, I've got a bridge to sell you. Honestly, when you compare this miracle with exorcising demons and curing the sick and making the lame walk again and the deaf hear and the blind see, not to mention bringing the dead back to life, water to wine really isn't much. Bringing the dead back to life, that has to be a But water into wine? If we tried really hard, as I think one of our kids was challenging us to do, and got science involved, and we cheated a little, maybe we could even do that, you and me. Well, probably not. The miracle at the wedding feast at Cana is a fascinating passage in the Gospel of John, and it's unlike any other miracle. Jesus doesn't perform miracles to get people out of a jam. They're more serious than that. So this miracle isn't like his other miracles. And yet it is. He doesn't heal anyone, but it's still a miracle that addresses faith, or maybe our lack thereof. You may remember that in the birth narratives, after the shepherds leave the manger, Scripture states that Mary, the Moses, when confronted with the events surrounding Jesus' birth, announcement by angels, declarations by relatives, the presence of adoring shepherds, etc., she ponders all these things in her heart. I think, that by the time she gets to Cana, she is, or should be, through pondering. At least Jesus is. There seems to be no hesitation on her part. She believes, she knows Jesus can do this. Jesus, they have no wine, she says to her son. Understanding where she's headed with her comment, he responds, my hour has not yet come. And she unflinchingly tells the waitstaff, do whatever he tells you, as if to say, son, your hour has come, and it is now. A bit presumptuous on her part, maybe. But after all, she is his mother, and she has been pondering these things, all these things about him and his life in her heart for a long time. What I love about this miracle story is that it is so very, it isn't so fantastic as to be completely unbelievable. Because when you cut to the core, it's about relationships, and it's about faith. And the love two people have for one another. Mary loves her son and knows him. Jesus loves his mother more than he needs to be right. Did you hear that? He loves his mother more than he needs to be right. I mean, who's going to argue with Jesus, the Son of God, about when his hour has come? You don't win an argument with God or God's son, because they ultimately will always be right. But this isn't about being right. It's about love. Jesus loves his mother, and so he turns water into wine, much to the wonder and the abbot's disciples and the waitstaff. Wouldn't this be a much better world if we were willing to be loving than we are to being right all the time? But let's go back to turning water into wine and the thought that you and I could do this if we tried. I don't think that we could, even if we take things not quite so literally. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, writes to the congregation, a church, a gathering of Christians who are pretty proud of themselves and their accomplishments. Well, at least some of them are very proud. They also have a problem with being puffed up, if you know what I mean. Some of them think pretty highly of themselves because of the positions they're in, the opportunity they had that got them there, and the status they now hold. Paul wants to set them straight. He writes concerning spiritual gifts, the gifts exhibited by believers in their faith community. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each, given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Did you hear that? For each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. In other words, we're all in this together, and we're all called to work to minister together. Everyone uses what they've been given by God, the source of all gifts, for the common good. When Jesus turns wine, he uses his God-given gifts in a social setting for the common good. He lovingly gives of himself by lovingly using his God-given gifts. And he thinks that should be a way of life for all those who call him Lord and Savior. Maybe that is a miracle, that we could actually do that. So the Son of God to be a partner with God to create miracles? I guess that all depends on what you consider a miracle. I want to share with you, do I have time? I want to share with you a little story that I read some time ago in a book called Plan B, Further Thoughts on Faith by Anne Lamott. The story is called Ham of God. Ham of God, not Lamb of God. She writes, on my 49th birthday, I decided that all of life was hopeless and I would eat myself to death. But there was no food in the house. I ate a few birthday chocolates. Then I asked God to help me be helpful. It was the first time that day that I felt my prayers were sent and then received like email. I tried to cooperate with grace. I asked God to help me again. The problem with God, rate one of the top five most annoying things about God, is that he or she rarely answers right away. It can take days or weeks and months. Some people seem to understand this, that life and change take time. So I prayed, help me. And I drove to the market in silence to buy my birthday dinner. I flirted with everyone in the store, especially the old people, and I lightened up. When the checker finished my items, she looked at my receipt and cried, "Hey, you want a ham?" I felt blindsided by the news. I had asked for help, not a ham. This was very disturbing. What on earth was I going to do with 10 pounds of salty pink eraser? I rarely eat it. It makes me bloat. "Wow," I said. The checker was so excited about giving that I pretended I was too. "How great!" A bagger was dispatched to the back of the store to fetch the ham. I stood waiting anxiously. I wanted to go home so I could start caring for suffering people or turn on CNN. I almost suggested that the checker award the ham to the next family who paid with food stamps. But for some reason, I waited. If God was going to give me a ham, I'd be crazy not to receive it. Maybe it was the ham of God who takes away the sins of the world. I waited 10 minutes for what I began to think was, "Where is this ham?" Finally, the bag boy handed me a parcel the size of a cat. I put it with my faint cheer into my grocery, with a faint cheer in my grocery cart, and walked to the car, trying to figure out who might need it. I thought about chucking the parcel out the window. I was so distracted that I crashed my cart smack into a slow-moving car in the parking lot. I started to apologize when I noticed that the car was a rusty wreck and that an old friend was at the wheel. We got sober together a long time ago, and each of us had a son at the same time. She has dark black skin and processed hair the color of cooled tar. She opened her window. "Hey," I said, "how are you? It's my birthday." "Happy birthday," she said, and started crying. She looked drained and pinched, and after a moment, she pointed to her gas gauge. "I don't have money for gas or food. I've never asked for help from a friend since I got sober, but I'm asking you to help me." "I've got money," I said. No, I just need gas." "I've never asked someone for a handout." "It's not a handout," I told her. "It's my birthday present." I thrust a bunch of money into her hand, everything I had. Then I reached into my shopping cart and held out the ham to her like a clown offering flowers. "Hey," I said, "do you and your kids like ham?" "We love it," she said. "We love it for every meal." She put it inside her firmly, lovingly, as if she were about to strap it in, and cried some more. Later, thinking about her, I remembered the seasonal showers in the desert, how potholes in the rocks fill up with rain. When you look later, there are already frogs in the water and brine shrimp reproducing like commas doing the Macarena. And it seems, but only seems, parched to overflow in the blink of an eye. The ham of God. Is it a miracle story? Well, maybe not by our standards, but by Jesus' standards, as I understand them, I think probably so. And I wonder and I ask you, is there still room in our lives for miracles? Is there still room in our lives for the ham of God or other stations of God at work in our world? God at work in us? God at work through us? Or have we just grown too full of ourselves that turning water into wine just isn't enough anymore? Amen and amen.
And now we will gather in prayer and bring our cares, concerns, and joys to God. Let us pray. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. Happy are those whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind, lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Lord, this morning we pray that you would indeed lift up all those who are bowed down, bringing your healing and justice, comfort and safety and provision to all who are in need of it. And Lord, we know that you hear us when we pray, so we ask that you would listen as in this moment of silence we lift to you our cares and concerns closest to our hearts. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. And together we pray the prayer that you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
We're going to let Pastor Taylor skedaddle. She's got to do a wedding somewhere in New Jersey. I'm not sure, in the hinterlands of. I forgot to mention this. If you know of federal employees who've been caught in the shutdown and are in need of help, perhaps family members or others, please let me know. I know that our deacons would be happy to try to do what they can to help those families out. So let me know, or let Pastor Taylor know, or one of our elders. Friends, there are a million of God in every day that we live. There are miracles that take place in our lives that we pay no attention to. Let's leave this place resigned to open our hearts to the amazing grace and love that exists through the blessings of Jesus Christ. My friends, go knowing that our Lord Jesus Christ walks with us every second of every day. We are never alone. We are always loved. Go in the knowledge of that love, that grace, and that peace. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.